The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, everybody? It's another Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Boy, do we have a great show for you tonight. A craft beer guest that will be joining us in just about 20 minutes from now. And lots of fun stuff. So Judas Priest over the weekend, Friday night, Prudential Center. Fantastic show. The boys from Birmingham back better than ever. Second night of the U.S. tour. Just awesome. I love those guys. I could go see those guys 100 times over and never get bored. If they come by in your area, do yourself a favor. Go check them out. It was definitely worth the price of admission. Atlantic City Beer and Music Fest was the week before. I'll get into a full review on that a little bit later in the program. John Henderson and his crew doing a fantastic job, as usual. And first time it's been indoors since the pandemic. I remember it was canceled in 2020. And then they put it out on Bader Field in 21, in 22, 23. So, interesting stuff. Good stuff, though. Good stuff. Glad to see things, I don't want to say sort of getting back to normal, but they're certainly getting there. That's for sure. Coming up in 20 minutes, Brett Bullock from Screaming Hill Brewery over in Cream Ridge, New Jersey, is going to join me. Lots of cool things going on at the farm. We're going to chat with Brett about all of it and so much more. Got a chance to see him a few weeks ago. I was over at Holland Farms getting tulips. My wife and I were walking through the tulip fields, picking tulips and stuff. And we decided, because literally 5 minutes away was Screaming Hill. And I said, I have to stop by him here. It's 5 minutes. And chatted up with Brett and a couple of different things. Got to try some new stuff. And we will have Brett on the program to talk about the new things that he's got going on. They've got a run happening at the brewery that's coming up in May. A lot of fun. So we'll get into it with Brett in just a little bit. Neshaminy Creek, though, is adding another new flavor to its Rita's Fruit Brews line of beers inspired by Rita's Italian Ice. It's a watermelon sour. So the new brew is joining the ranks of Mango Peach Ring and Cherry Lemonade. It has been released already this last Friday, and it will then be available throughout the brewery's distribution network in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Maryland, and now in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, thanks to the new partnership with Homegrown Distribution. So Watermelon Sour keys off the latest flavor that recently debuted at Rita shops across the country, Sour Patch Kids Watermelon Ice. So it's a sour, then it's sweet, and then it's gone, according to them. The beer, refreshingly tart with a lactic sourness that adds a bright burst to the sweet watermelon candy flavor, a light body, tingly carbonation, tangy finish, and a highly sessionable 5% ABV. As they're saying, Watermelon Sour is a fresh slice of summer in a can. It's in 12-ounce six-packs. Available at Neshaminy Creek's tap rooms, of course, in Croydon and Dublin. And it is also, of course, available throughout Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, as well as Massachusetts and Rhode Island, along with their other releases, Mango Peach Ring and Cherry Lemonade. I guess, you know what? I'm wondering why they wouldn't have put this together as a 12-pack at some point. Maybe they just haven't decided to put it together as a 12-pack. But you can get it in New Jersey, obviously, and in those states that I did mention. Now, what we're going to be talking to Brett about coming up in just a little bit is that Screaming Hill is doing their first ever 5K. So Good Day for a Run does races at breweries and wineries all over the East Coast. And this May, May 18th, actually, Saturday, May 18th. They are joining forces with them for a great race around their 175-acre farm. Less than 50 spots remain in this. You get some cool things with your ticket, including a T-shirt, a pint glass, your first pour of beer. Under 21, you get soda. So, yes, if you're under 21, you can participate in the race. Obviously, you can't get beer. Live music in a food truck after the race. It's $45 to register. It's Saturday, May 18th. It starts at 9 a.m. GoodDayForARun.com/events for more information. Again, you get a T-shirt, you get a pint glass, and you get your first pour of beer, which is fantastic. I mean, that's a great deal. For $45, you run a 5K. When you're done, you get a glass, you get a pint, you get a beer, and and there's food trucks and stuff afterwards. Now you can run or walk this. You don't have to run it. You could walk it. Again, it's a 5K. GoodDayForARun.com/events. Saturday, May 18th at 9 a.m. at Screamin' Hill Farm Brewery down in Cream Ridge, New Jersey. Again, less than 50 spots remain on this one. Gearblock Brewing is celebrating 2 years as a brewery. So on Saturday, April 27th, Sunday, April 28th, noon to 7 p.m., they are transforming their parking lot into a lively celebration zone. Groove to the tunes of our live music. Explore our new beer releases, new gear. They have an anniversary teku glass. And indulge in delicious bites from our lineup of food trucks with both beer gardens and parking lot open. The party is just getting started. This is at Gearblock Brewing, of course, on April 27th from noon to 10 p.m. and Sunday, April 28th from noon to 7 p.m. Pretty cool. Killsboro, of course, doing their pizza party. Tickets have not gone on sale yet. Saturday, July 20th, noon to 4 p.m., Snug Harbor Cultural Center. Unlimited beer samples from 20-plus breweries. Slices from legendary New York City pizzerias. Early bird tickets go on sale soon. It's a fantastic event. I don't miss it. 100% of the proceeds goes directly to Snug Harbor, which is always a great thing. And Killsboro is going to be opening right next to Snug Harbor very, very soon. And I'm pretty sure that... and I have to talk to Sean about this, but I'm pretty sure that Snug Harbor will be, Killsboro will be open next to Snug Harbor before Pizza Party happens on July 20th. Crossing fingers. The Seattle Hospitality Group announced earlier this week that they are taking a controlling interest in Fremont Brewing. So the partnership marks a significant milestone in SHG's ongoing commitment to support the craft beer community in Seattle. That began with the acquisition of Pike Brewing in 2021. Under the terms of the agreement, Seattle Hospitality Group will provide Fremont Brewing with resources and support to accelerate its growth plans. The acquisition brings together two iconic Seattle-based breweries with a shared passion for quality, innovation, and dedication to community. So Pike Brewing and Fremont will work together to continue to push the boundaries of local craft beer excellence and growth. Matt Lincecum, the owner of Fremont Brewing, said, "We're excited to embark on this journey with Seattle Hospitality Group and Pike Brewing. Charles and Roseanne built Pike into a legendary brewery. We look forward to honoring and building upon their legacy. Both of our breweries share a deep-rooted passion for brewing exceptional beer and fostering meaningful connections with the local community. Keeping it local is really what this partnership with SHG, Pike, and Fremont is all about." PikeBrewing.com and FremontBrewing.com for more information on both of those things. So this is a good thing, I think. You know, this is... Here's where you have a hospitality group that's getting together and keeping two breweries together that are bastions of a community. I don't think this is anything close to what an AB InBev merger was. Look what happened. They merged all these breweries. They thought they'd cornered the market on craft beer. It didn't really work out for them. And then they ended up selling the majority of their big brands to Tilray. And Tilray is having some success with those things because now people are going, they're not a big beer company anymore. So I think if kept in the proper perspective, I think this is something that can certainly work out for them. We've mentioned these two things before, but I'll mention them again because they're important. B3, the Beer Barbecue Bacon Showdown, takes place Saturday, May 18th. That's at Menin Arena Field up in Mendham. NJBeerBBQFest.com for tickets. General admission 1 to 5 p.m. VIP starts at noon and goes to 1 p.m. There are 30 New Jersey craft breweries that will be there. It's all New Jersey craft beer. Three styles of beer. There's going to be tasty barbecue and bacon dishes from local vendors to purchase. There's going to be live music. There's going to be entertainment. It's a lot of fun. I have a blast at this event every single year. I judge it and we have a great time. It's a benefit for the Chester First Aid Squad. You need to be there. It's a fun event. It's rain or shine. Last year it poured. They had it indoors inside the arena, inside the ice rink, but usually it's outside, right on the grass. It's a phenomenal event. You do not want to miss it. You will enjoy yourself. It is fantastic, and some of the creations that these guys come up with food-wise are just unbelievable. And then Beach House in Belmar is doing their big 10-year anniversary. That's taking place on the rooftop at Beach House Saturday, May 11th. They had mentioned 9 guest breweries. They've added a 10th now. 18 guest taps offering you some of the best craft beer that New Jersey has to offer. There's going to be live music. There'll be DJ. There'll be all kinds of stuff that's going on. No cover. You pay for what you drink. 1 to 6 p.m. is that brewery part of the version, but they're going to have the beers on all day. I've mentioned a bunch of these breweries: Heavy Reel, Icarus, Wild Air, Bird's Mouth, Little Dog, Alternate Ending, Last Wave, Bradley Brew, but Bakes Brewing is now joining in on the fun. They will be there as well. Again, it is Saturday, May 11th from 1 to 6 p.m. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be on the rooftop at Beach House in Belmar. It's going to be a tremendous event. Absolutely make sure that you are there. You will not be disappointed. Now, when we come back after a short break, we're going to have more news and notes from around the beer world, including a recap of the Atlantic City Beer and Music Fest that took place last week in Atlantic City at the Convention Center. It was a great time, and John Henderson and his crew should be rewarded for all of the hard work they put in to put on a phenomenal event. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. What is going on? Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. You know, I did that as if I was recording the first segment of the show, but it's actually the second segment of the show. So there you go. This is, you know, folks, full disclosure, I do record this show during the week. It's not live. It is a recorded show, right? And I wake up very early in the morning to come to work because my day job during the week is working on the Joe Piscopo Show. And every once in a blue moon, when you wake up in the middle of the night, your alarm doesn't go off. And my body has this sort of thing now where I can get up at that hour without, you know, much prompting. I'm usually up before the alarm gets off. But on this particular day that I'm recording this segment, which happens to be a Thursday, the alarm did not go off and I was a few minutes late. And it's completely thrown me off of my entire schedule, which is never a good thing. Not that you really needed to know that, but I needed to voice that because of the way I opened up this segment. Now, yes, I could have just re-recorded it, but I don't like to do that. I like to do things as if we're live. So there you go. A little peek into how I do things on this craft beer cast. Now, coming up in 10 minutes, Brett Bullock from a Screaming Hill Brewery over in Creamy Ridge, New Jersey, is going to join me. A lot of great things that are going on at the farm. You'll want to hear from Brett about that, new beers that are coming out. Styles that they're playing around with, and you know what's happening in the beer business itself. It's interesting, not to deflect from the beer business, but noticing that other businesses are closing. You know, a liquor store that I've gone to time and time again in Westfield, New Jersey, Nos Vino, is closing its doors. They're closing at the end of the month. Again, you're a liquor store in the heart of Westfield, New Jersey, which you should be doing very well for yourself. They had a great craft beer selection, you know, wines and spirits and things of that nature. Could never put it together. High rent, a lot of different things come in play, and it's sad to see Nos Vino go because they were doing great. I'm going to try and get over there, see if they have any deals left on craft beer, you know, some stuff, maybe some recent stuff that came out. Would love to pick up some stuff that you really can't get anywhere else. They were one of the few places that I could get Tim Burrell's on a consistent basis. So we'll see what happens there. Sad to see it go. A bakery in town is closing. Again, you know, business is a part of this show, right? As much as it is beer, it's also about small business. When you don't support small business in any form, they end up closing. So while it's convenient, and I'm guilty of this too, to use Amazon to get the things that you need or go to other places, if you don't populate your local places, whether it comes to booze, whether it's, you know, a bakery, whatever, they will eventually close. And it's funny how people go, oh, I hadn't been there in a while. Oh, it's sad to see them go. Well, you know what? That's what you need to do. You need to poke your head in there every once in a while and buy a few things. That keeps people moving along. All right. Funky Buddha is celebrating their 1 year of regained independence. Remember, they were owned by a conglomerate and then sold. And they're back to their, you know, their you know, original ways, I guess, for lack of a better term. They're also raising a glass to the local beer community on June 15th, an epic beer festival and homebrew competition. It's an all-you-can-drink festival offering unlimited samples of 40-plus local breweries in a commemorative tasting glass. Tickets go on sale starting April 29th. VIP options will be available. You can register for the homebrewing competition as well. There's a link below. We will tweet that out. We will also try and post it on our Facebook page as well because it's too far. It's a Google Docs form that you have to fill out. But if you go to Funky Buddha's website, you should be able to get the information that you needed. There should be a link there in order to register for the homebrew contest. You know, they're sort of going back to their roots as they started out as a small brew pub and a homebrew shop, and they are beyond stoked to get back to those roots while showcasing the amazing beer community in the South Florida area. So that's pretty cool from Funky Buddha. Again, that's taking place on June the 15th. Dogfish Head, here's something they're doing that's really cool. And I'm not going to be around because I'm going to be in Philly. But it would be really cool to go to this event. So Analog A-Go-Go is back this year. It's free to attend. You can explore an ensemble of musical goodness both Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th, all centered around the main event, which takes place on Saturday, June 8th, at the Dogfish Head Milton Brewery. With the likes of Cream Magazine, Morrison Hotel Gallery, and Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah, and more in the lineup, it's shaping to be up a majorly rockin' weekend. So on Saturday, June 8th, the Milton Brewery is going to be transformed into a music venue meets record fair meets beer festival. You can drink exclusive beers and spirits from a few of your favorite craft breweries. Samples and full pours will be available for purchase. You can browse through a pop-up record shop and listen to some stellar live music. Now, look who's going to be here. Dewey Beer, Angel City, Angry Orchard, Other Half, and The Veil will all be on site serving up their creations. They're going to have a marketplace composed of 14 independent merchants who will be selling all things music-related. You can grab a copy of Cream Magazine. You can check out the Morrison Hotel Gallery. You can snag some of their timeless prints while sipping on an exclusive spirit collaboration with them, which is called Old Fashioned Rock and Roll. Dogfish.com/analogagogo for all the details on this. That is pretty cool. Now, I'm going to be in Philly to see Gary Clark Jr. on the 8th of June, so unfortunately I won't be able to get to that, but that sounds pretty cool. Lark Brewing Company is thrilled to announce the grand opening of their highly anticipated farm brewery in Aldi, Virginia. This is in Loudoun County, Virginia, situated just off of Route 15 in Aldi, Virginia. They're going to have a diverse selection of craft beers, Virginia-inspired wines, ciders, and seltzers, great food menu, burgers, wings, flatbreads, and more. They will have cozy fireplaces in the tap room, ample seating, two outdoor pavilions with fire pits and open spaces, family and pet-friendly environment, so bring your pets and bring your family, and a community support as well. Each quarter, Lark Brewing will select a local charity to support. A portion of sales of a certain beer will be directed to that charity. The first quarter of this year, the charity partner is the Friends of Homeless Animals in Loudoun County. For more information, just head over to Lark Brewing co.com. And then Trogues is announcing the return of their annual Art of Trogues contest. This is a challenge to fans. You create an original piece of art inspired by its beer, label art, packaging, employees, or even the brewery itself. You can create original artwork in any medium: painting, photography, illustration, collage, jewelry, metalwork, carving, stained glass, mosaic, however you want to do it. There's a whole list of rules. A lucky winner gets a cash prize of $500, and you can be the guest of honor at the 8th Annual Art of Trogues Gallery opening. Submissions for the Art of Trogues contest will be accepted digitally until June 10th. Trogues.com/art for additional details and complete contest rules from Trogues. Now, finally, a quick little review of the Atlantic City Beer and Music Fest, which took place last weekend. John Henderson, you and your crew at Tricycle Productions, a phenomenal job. First off, it was a great event. Great to be back indoors. Great to be able to walk around the convention center. A lot of cool things. The only downside of the whole thing, and it's my only criticism, the Silent Disco was much smaller. They had it more compact. I don't know why. I don't know for space limitations. Whatever the case may be, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of a bigger area for the Silent Disco. I didn't partake because it was too crowded. It just felt like I was on top of people. I didn't want to be on top of people. That's the only criticism that I have of the event. It was phenomenal. Very few lines for beer. Got to see a whole bunch of people that I haven't seen in quite some time. Great to see Keith Oriente from Brotherton. Great to see Chris Monahan from Lawson's Finest. Thank you for the taste of the Sip of Totality. That was an excellent beer. Departed Souls beer, one for the sour that was for the band on Friday night, whose name escapes me right now. That won best beer, People's Choice. They won a big trophy, and kudos to Brian. Also, Departed Souls announcing just this past week, they are doing the 40th anniversary commemorative beer for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the comic book when it was first released, which is really cool. We'll have more details on that when we get to it, probably on next week's program. And just a really, really great event. Had a good time catching up with so many people. John, you do a great job year in and year out. All of the events that you put on, but this one is the granddaddy of them all because this is your Super Bowl, your Daytona 500, and it was awesome. It was so much fun. I had a blast. And catching up with George from Sam Adams. I haven't seen George in gotta be 8-9 years, and it was great to catch up with him. He sent me a text the next day. I didn't even know who it was because I didn't put his number in my phone. Goes to show you how much I drank that night. But you know what? I don't care. I wasn't driving, and I didn't have any responsibility. So sometimes it's good to let loose. And do questionable or bad things, as John likes to say. And I did. I did some questionable things. Let's put it that way. Nothing bad. Nothing that would get me arrested. Anyway, it was a phenomenal event. Great beer, great time, great music. The summer sessions, we'll get into it more in the coming weeks. That's taking place in the middle of July over at Bader Field. It's one day and two sessions over at Bader Field. We'll get into more of that in the coming weeks, and we'll talk about the bands as well. When we come back after a short break, Brett Bullock from Screamin' Hill Brewery over in Cream Ridge, New Jersey, will join me on the program. This is the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Welcome back to the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. You can follow me on some of these social media outlets. I don't do the TikTok thing. I'm that old guy now who's doesn't do everything that the young kids are doing. So I don't do the TikTok. I do Twitter, or X as they like to call it now, at Algatulo. Instagram at Gatulo, GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast. We're on iTunes, Odyssey.com. We're over on Amazon. If you tell Alexa to play, whatever, the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast or AG Craft Beer Cast, they will play it. Or head over to HoppedUpNetwork.com. Head over there Monday mornings, a couple of minutes after the show airs, and you can download and listen to the podcast version of this show at your leisure. And it's a great thing. Now, my next guest, he's been running a farm down in Cream Ridge, New Jersey. It's been in their family for well over 100 years. They're coming up on 9 years making farm fresh beer in the Garden State, and they're doing a phenomenal job. I was just there a couple of weeks ago after picking some tulips around the corner from them. Farm is open to drink beer on the weekends as well. I believe Thursdays, I'm pretty sure they're open as well on Thursdays. Just go to ScreamingHill.com for more information on the brewery. But they got some things going on. We wanted to get this guy back. So let me welcome back to the program, Brett Bullock. Brett, how are you?
I'm doing awesome, Al. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Oh, 100%. Now, let's dive right in. Coming up Saturday, May 18th, you're hosting a 5K, first time ever on the farm. It's called the Screaming Hill Scramble, and runners get to run around the farm?
Yeah, it's going to be a really cool event. We've got a course tracked around the farm, so they're going to be running, you know, around our farm roads, kind of through the fields, through the Christmas trees, through our barley fields that we use to make the beer. I think it'll be a really fun event. We've got a bunch of people signed up, and we're hoping to sign up a bunch more.
Excellent. Now, I know that there are less than 50 spots left for the race, and you can run it or you can walk it, and there's activities that take place afterwards, correct?
Yeah, we're going to be slinging some farm fresh beers after the race, and it's being put on by a guy that does these sorts of things all over the East Coast at breweries and wineries, so he really knows how to put on a good event, and it should be a ton of fun.
All right, so it's $45 to register for the race. For that, you get a T-shirt, you get a pint glass, you get your first pour. Now, if you're under 21, you can run the race, but you don't get a beer, you get soda. And they're going to have some food trucks and you know, entertainment. It's going to be great. We're talking with Brett Bullock, the owner-operator of Screamin' Hill Brewery, located in beautiful Cream Ridge, New Jersey. For more info on the brewery, you can head over to ScreaminHill.com. And to enter the race, just head over to GreatDayForARace.com. We're here on the Al Cthulhu Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Now, Brett, it was great catching up with you a few weeks back. I loved that cold IPA on draft. And you were also telling me while I was there that you're brewing a beer you weren't able to brew last year because you couldn't get the hops for it from Germany. Is it still difficult to get certain ingredients because of either inflation or weather or just, you know, happenstance? You know, obviously there's conflicts going on in Europe and stuff. Or is it all of those things, one of those things? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, they're all factors that play into it. You know, inflation definitely has an impact, but the weather, I think, has more of an impact even than that, just because, you know, last year we just couldn't get those German hops because they had a bad year because of drought, I believe, and so, that you know, they just didn't have the inventory, and so little guys like us have a hard time securing those hops when the inventory's low, so that's why we weren't able to grow a Pilsner, but fortunately it's in the tank for this year, and we'll be bringing that out soon. But yeah, I mean, you know, we're farmers and brewers, so we're fully aware of the impacts of weather. I mean, we grow all our own barley on the farm here, so that's always impacted by the weather, but it's also kind of what we love about growing beer, we like to say, because you kind of get to experience that nuance that the weather and that year's climate does to the beer.
And you know what's interesting is another brewery would say, all right, you know what, I can't make it with this particular hop, so I'm going to try something else, because brewers do that. They say, all right, let's see what happens here, but you're steadfast about that. If you're brewing a beer a certain way, those are the ingredients that you want to use. You're not necessarily going to substitute them just because you can't get them. You sort of put it aside and say, all right, you know what, we'll try and come at it again next year if we can get those ingredients right.
Yeah, we're really, you know, especially with something like a lager where you're going to really sort of notice any changes. You know, there's not a lot to hide behind with a lager.
Right.
And so, you know, for something like that, for a Pilsner, that's where you're really getting that hop character and that maltiness and graininess all sort of coming through together. We really didn't want to play with the recipe. It took us a little while to get that recipe right where we wanted it. So once we got that recipe, you know, where we were happy with it, we weren't willing to monkey with it. Better just to wait and do it when we can get the right ingredients.
And that cold IPA that you had me taste, which was fantastic. I forget this. Are you going to end up eventually canning that, or is that just going to be sort of a draft only for the farm or in crawlers?
Yeah, we're definitely going to can it. In fact, we just finalized the can design for that one. And then we just didn't can this first one because it was our first batch of an experimental series.
Right.
But yeah, we'll be brewing that again probably late spring, early summer.
Cool.
And that one will go in cans for sure. That's called crop rotation.
Is that the new fascination now? Is it cold IPA? I mean, you know, we've seen all these fads, you know, back by the hazy, the juicy, the, you know, all of this. Now it seems lagers are making that big comeback, which I love. But is cold IPAs we've seen pop up over the last several years, is that becoming or trying to become the next big thing in beer?
You know, I don't know if it's going to become the next big thing. We've never been very good at following trends. You know, we really never really got onto the hazy train, and we don't do pastry stouts and stuff like that. We've never been super trendy. But, you know, the cold IPA was just a style that we were really interested in. It's just kind of a cool way to play with hops and see how they come through. And the idea of brewing it with lager yeast is really fun because it's just a different type of IPA, and it's a kind of IPA that we all kind of like, that sort of cleaner, more old school IPA. This is just a fun way to create like a different IPA for, you know, for people to experience.
Nice. Now, I want to mention, we're talking with Brett Bullock, the owner-operator of Screamin' Hill Brewery, located in beautiful Cream Ridge, New Jersey. The race that's taking place in May, greatdayforarace.com to sign up there. There are less than 50 spots left. ScreaminHill.com is the website for more information on the brewery itself. We're here on the Al Cthulhu Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Now, the other big race that you do, this is, I guess, the fourth annual Back Road Ramble is taking place the first Saturday in November, which would be November 2nd. Is that correct? I know that Farms Against Hunger was not there last year, but they are coming back this year for you guys to help them out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Farmers Against Hunger will be here, and then we started adding to our fundraising efforts. We also donate to America's Grow a Row, which is another cool organization doing similar stuff to them. So both of those organizations are involved. And we'll be here next year. So, yeah, that's a really fun event. It's a speed walk relay race.
Right.
So each racer walks about 40 feet in a speed walk competition, and it's everybody gets really into it. It's a really, really a ton of fun, and we get to raise some money for a really good cause, a cause that we like to raise money for, which is, you know, getting food for people that need it.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, folks, if you haven't been, you have to do it. It's such a fun event. When you see people carving up at 8 o'clock in the morning with donuts and beer, you know you're in for a good time. I mean, it's so cool. And I love the fact that it takes place the day before the New York City Marathon, which you have these guys training all year long. And here are a bunch of people who get together and say, you know what, we're going to help out a couple of great organizations to provide food for people. And let's have some donuts and beer. It's awesome. You got to come down. It's a great time. I missed it last year because of my high school reunion, but I certainly will not be missing it this year. Now, Brett, I have to ask you, obviously, we've had changes in the state of New Jersey. The New Jersey Beer Bill was passed and signed by the governor this past January. Has it affected your operations in any way, positive or negative? Has it been a good thing, bad thing? What's your general take on it?
Yeah, I think it's been a good thing. You know, it's definitely a step in the right direction. You know, I feel like there's more change that needs to happen so that we kind of have a little bit of parity with our neighboring states with their brewing industries. But, you know, it was a giant step in the right direction, I think, for us. You know, just not limiting the amount of times we have live music and other sorts of events like that and allowing us to coordinate with food trucks. I think that's a huge one, being able to have food at a brewery. You know, you've got people drinking, you should have the ability to offer food. So, yeah, I think they're all steps in the right direction. And, you know, hopefully we'll have some momentum we can keep leveraging with new legislation and new changes for us to keep kind of going in the right direction.
Yeah, and especially for you guys. I mean, you're on a farm, and it's not like there's a pizza joint or a hamburger place around the corner from you. Everything's a significant distance. So if you're coming, and I noticed when I was leaving a couple of weeks ago, people were coming in, they were bringing sandwiches with them, they had food with them. But, you know, obviously it's not something sometimes that you plan on when you're heading over to a brewery. And, you're on a farm without really a lot of options. So to be able to partner up with a food truck for you guys is very important. Now, the other thing that I have to ask before I let you go, I know there was construction going on the road to the brewery. How long is that construction going on? Obviously, I'm hoping that's not something that's going to be going on for the entire summer. Is this just a spring thing where they're fixing the road?
Yeah, we're hoping it's just a spring thing. They're repaving our road. So, you know, but I've spoke to the crews, and they said they'll make sure everybody can get to the brewery. They're not going to have it like closed off so people can't get here. So hopefully they actually do that. But, you know, it's a short detour to get to the other side of the road. Fortunately, it's not too far out of the way if one side's closed off. So hopefully just a spring project and an inconvenience, but not making it impossible to get here.
I will give you a piece of advice, folks. Get off at the exit on 195 for Great Adventure and just take the road right past Great Adventure and make your first right past Great Adventure. You run right into the farm, and there's no construction over there, which is actually a good thing. Brett, last question from me here before we run out of time. What is the next beer that's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks that you're excited about?
Ooh, the next beer that we're excited about actually is another lager. Actually, mm-hmm. We did it once last year. It's called El Lager. It's a Mexican style lager, and this year we brewed a double batch of it, and we're going to split that batch and do a sea salt and lime version of it. So it's just going to be like a crushable summer lager. That's a really fun beer that we're going to try to keep doing year after year.
Awesome.
So I think that lime lager is going to be a really good one.
Well, I can't wait to make another trip down to the farm to try that one. That sounds delicious. My guest has been Brett Bullock, the owner-operator of Screamin' Hill Brewery, located in beautiful Cream Ridge, New Jersey. Screaminghill.com for more info on the brewery. If you want to enter the race in May, that's Saturday, May 18th. GreatDayForARace.com. There's less than 50 spots left, so get in there now. Brett, thanks so much for joining me tonight. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Al. Always a pleasure. I appreciate it.
You got it. Up next, it's time for Suds and Duds on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Final segment of the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. The Outfield, Your Love, from their Play Deep album back in 1985. Now, you might say to yourself, Outfield, Your Love, One Hit Wonder. Incorrect. They actually charted another song on the Billboard Top 40. In order to be a One Hit Wonder, you could only have one hit or only chart one time on the Billboard Top 100. In the Outfield is not that. They are not a one-hit wonder. They actually did have another hit. People, it was an obscure song. I think it was 1987. It was their next album or something. They charted somewhere on the Top 100. But you can't have charted on the Top 100. If you do that again, you're no longer a one-hit wonder. So there you go. A little music history lesson for you folks. All right, let us dive in. Suds and Duds. As always, this is the segment where I talk about various beers that I've had and whether I like them or I don't like them. As I mentioned earlier, the Atlantic City Beer and Music Fest was a phenomenal event. I don't really remember too many of the beers that I had because I was just going, bouncing from one to the other. Although, as I did point out, Departed Souls beer that they made for the Friday Night Act that they did a collaboration with ended up, they kicked the keg. Not too long after I got there, and it ended up winning the People's Choice for Best Beer for the weekend. So that is pretty cool, and Departed Souls is doing some great stuff. So if you haven't been to Jersey City and you haven't checked out Brian's Place, I encourage you to do so. You will not be disappointed. It is a fantastic little spot in Jersey City. All right, so we start off with the Vale. This is their Never Forever, which I believe... one half of Cracked One at the Summit, Kim, gave me this can. An outstanding goza. Tart, full of flavor. Very, very nice. And this had been sitting for a while in the fridge. I had not gotten around to it. But a delicious beer. So thank you, Kim. I appreciate that. Our good friends from Ross Brewing, John Cocosa, gave me a can of Love Reaction, which was their stout with chocolate and strawberry for Valentine's Day. And I have to tell you, a nice, easy drinking stuff. For some reason, I don't know why I waited to drink this. I think I thought it was a higher ABV than it actually was. It's a low ABV. It's a nice, easy drinking stout. More chocolate than strawberry. So I don't know if it was one of those where you had to drink it fresh out of the can or fresh off the tap to get more of that strawberry flavor. But not super sweet either, which is good. Because there are some pastry stouts that can be very, very sweet and cloying. And you have one and you're kind of just, all right, that's it. This one you could go back to over and over again. I found myself reaching back for the glass and taking a bigger sip each time as I was drinking through it. So that that's something that should be noted about a beer like that, because you would expect something like that with chocolate and strawberries to be overly sweet, and it wasn't. Guava Lava by Cervecería Narcos. This was a beer that... Pua Alon from Beer International had given me. And again, it was one of those that had been sitting for a while in the fridge. But salty, nice hit of guava, slight taste of lime, really, really nice and refreshing. Definitely more for a warmer day than, say, a cool night or a cold night. But a very tasty beer nonetheless. And I thank Pua for that. She does a great thing. Like we've had her on the show before. What they do is they curate beers from around the world. and then bring them into America, but have American breweries making their recipes and then selling them in the United States. It avoids certain taxes and things of that nature. So it's actually a good thing. An international brewery gets a presence in America and is able to establish themselves a little bit, which is really, really cool. Was over at Paragon Tap and Table. They had Into the Wayside by Autodidact, which they're getting a lot more of Autodidact's beers in, and they do a great job. Again, I have to get over to the tasting room, even though from what I'm hearing, the tasting room is small over in Randolph, but maybe it's something. I got to put it on the radar. I have a couple of days off coming up next week for my birthday. I think I need to sort of plan around that. Not that I want to go traveling all over the place, because, again, drinking and driving, not a smart thing. But maybe plant myself somewhere where I can have one or two at certain places and then move on. But anyway, a banging double IPA, nice bite to it. Very, very good. Enjoyed that one a whole heck of a lot. And then I picked up some cans to take home because they have this great thing where you go in at Paragon, and if you want to buy cans to take home, you can do that. And they're usually somewhere around $5 to $6 a can. So you can get a four-pack for $20. So maybe it's a couple of dollars higher than what you would pay in, say, a liquor store for a four-pack of, you know, one type of beer. You can pick and choose four different styles, four different IPAs, whatever you want. So Grimm's version of their Hefeweizen got that solid half, excellent beer. Grimm does a great job with that. Then they had Hopjoy from Brick City, which I hadn't had yet. And I said, let me go and try this one. Big weed hit off the nose. Very tasty. But that big resiny sort of, you know, that smell that reminds you of marijuana, which is, you know, not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, there's some marijuana that stinks, but, you know, just that resinous flavor there. And it was fantastic. Really enjoyed that one a lot. And then I picked up a can because they had it fresh there. Dead Flowers by Foam Brewing. Big floral hit off the nose. So you really got this flowery, not a perfumey smell, but a big flowery smell. Juicy and smooth, but really that floral hit you as soon as you poured the can, which was quite interesting. But I must say, quite delicious. Then when I was at Screamin' Hill a couple of weeks ago and was chatting with Brett, wanted to get some beer to take home. So Farm Nights is their dark lager. Excellent beer to sip, as I said, while enjoying a fire and looking up at the stars. Caramel, hint of coffee flavor in this, if I felt like. This was a delicious beer. Really enjoyed this one a lot. I'm glad I picked up some cans to take home. And if you haven't been to the farm at Screamin' Hill, go. Do yourself a favor. Go down. They don't allow kids. I shouldn't say that. They do allow kids, but they have to be well-behaved. You can't have them running all over the farm. You've got to keep them in control. No dogs. They have a farm dog that roams around the property, and they would prefer that you leave your pets at home. So they're not dog-friendly, which could be a drawback for some people. But if you're heading down to the farm, maybe you stopped and got some tulips over at Holland Ridge. It's literally from Holland Ridge Farms. It's about a 5-6 minute ride. And right now, even though they're doing construction on the road there, just get off the 195 exit for Six Flags. Go right past Six Flags. As soon as you get to your next right, make that right-hand turn. Follow that road all the way in to Myers Corner, and you'll see on the right-hand side, or Emily's Hill Road, you will see a church on the right-hand side. Make that right there. That's where they're doing the road construction. Farm is literally right down the road. As soon as you pass the church, you'll see it. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. Put it that way. Had a can of Oak Flower Brewing. This was the other one that I got from Paragon that I took home. This was Ring 12. This was... I think this was a collab with Conclave, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure it was with Conclave. Delicious, nice, hazy drinks with a little bit of a bite. Delicious, delicious beer. Very much enjoyed it a lot, and I love the fact that it's in a 12-ounce can, which is wonderful. And then finally, Trogs had sent me a can of Graffiti Highway IPA. They sent me the single. They sent me the double. So I did the single first. Nice burst of citrus, good hop, not aggressive, drinks very easy. The double I am going to get around to in the next couple of weeks. It's a stovepipe can, which I was very impressed that they were going to put a, a 9% IPA in a stovepipe. That might be one you crack it and you share it with a couple of people if you don't want to drink it all. See, my only problem with stovepipe cans, if they're not a beer that is easy to drink, like, you know, a 5 or even a 6%er, right? A lot of that liquid is going to get wasted unless you're drinking it with somebody. If you're sharing the 19-ounce can with somebody, because let's face it, a 19-ounce can, you can get two pretty decent 8-ounce pours, 9-ounce pours out of, right? Which is enough. And you can split it with somebody and you can enjoy it and move on. But 19 ounces in one sitting, that beer, probably the last 5 to 6 ounces, is going to get warm. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have a stovepipe can. I think it should be reserved for selected beers. But stovepipe cans are also a big seller as well. So I get it from an economic standpoint. Folks, my thanks to everybody involved in the program, as well as my guest Brett Bullock at Screaming Hill Brewery. Of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. Back live on the Joe Piscopo Show Monday at 6 a.m. This has been the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Cheers, everybody.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.